Good morning.
Interrupted because he and his wife came back from Mayo Clinic. I hope you've all kept him in prayer.
They have some good news and some slow news, right, I guess? Can you give them 30 seconds or whatever you're willing to say?
I'll give you a quick update. So I think everybody knows Kim's been suffering from something that was diagnosed as 3PD. Look that up on the internet. Stands for persistent postular perpetual dizziness. So she feels like she's on a ship constantly. So they diagnosed that, I think, in August of last year, but this is something she's been dealing with since about January of 2017. And we finally got a referral up to Mayo, saw the experts last week. Everything anatomically is fine, so her balance is good, her hearing's good. But basically what this expert is telling us is that she hasn't been treated appropriately for it. So she's been going to therapy, cognitive behavioral therapy, and vestibular therapy. Look that up on the internet again. But she's been having those therapies once a month or twice a month. And they tried a number of different medications that have all failed. He doesn't understand why they did the medications to start with. He said that was wrong to do it. So he's got her on one, which he's going to wean her off of. But he said she's getting the wrong dosage of therapy. So what she's been doing once a month and twice a month, she needs to be doing each of them four times or two times a week. So four different therapy sessions. And then they expect that we'll see results where she'll get back to Kim's normal in 3 to 6 months. So she's got a long haul. Certainly appreciate all the prayers, and she needs more. So,
amen.
So the scripture reading for today can be found in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 through 18. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position, but grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen. Children, I'd like to invite you to come down.
Good, good, good. Thank you all for coming down. I got a word. I want to see if you can help me understand what the word means. Okay? Yeah, come on, hon. You want me to hold you or you want to sit? You want me to hold you or you want to sit? What do you want to do? All right, I can't today. Because I'll put you up here while I can. I want to talk about the word fear. Yeah, I'm leaving, Mom. That's good. No, we're going to keep her back there. You show her you can do it all by yourself. Okay, never mind. All right, what does the word fear mean? How does it mean to be afraid? I don't know what it means. To be what? I know the word afraid. I know the word fear, but what does it mean? Are you afraid the chair is going to break underneath you right now?
No.
Are you afraid your feet won't work if you want to stand up? No. What is fear? What does it mean to be afraid?
When someone touches you and you think it's like something spooky.
Well, it's another word. Good word. What does that mean? What does fear mean? What, honey?
A pet dog scares
you. Yes, people that can scare you. Yep, and?
Thunder
scares you. Yes, sometimes. I learned a long time ago that just... What? Being scared, that's another word for fear. Isn't that a strange thing? The word fear, you know, sometimes... Yes, when they take something away, that makes you feel secure and strong, right? You can be really, really scared. It's a hard word to figure out. her dark school. Okay. Stay out of mom's dark school. Well, I want to talk about fear, because fear means, it means I'm not sure how it's going to turn out. Or if your chair had a broken leg, you're not sure my chair will hold me up, so I'm afraid it's going to fall. Or if I'm climbing a ladder and I hear it go crack, crack, crack underneath me, I'm afraid the ladder's going to break or fall, right? And you start to go, oh, fear means I'm not sure what's going to happen next. And so rather than be confident, my heart beats faster and I start thinking all kinds of terrible things. I was once afraid of a shadow on my ceiling when I was little. I was laying there in bed, and I think I was sick at the time, but I was laying there in bed. I looked up at the ceiling, and there was a head of an Indian on the ceiling.
It's you.
No, no. No, no. I was laying flat in bed with the covers pulled up to my nose. And I looked up there, and I was too scared to even say, Mommy! Because I thought he'd hear me. And I didn't know what in the world could make a shadow on my ceiling. And I was so hot under the covers. I was afraid to come out from under the covers. I was afraid to yell. And that was all pretty silly. Because I think it was a dirty shirt laying next to something else in the corner. And the shadow on the ceiling, in my mind, looked like it was going to hurt me. And it didn't. And it didn't. All right. But I want to show you something. I bought some special protective material. And I'll show you how to do this. You have to go home and figure out how to do it yourself. Because I heard there are people coming from outer space that are going to eat us. And every one of you needs to build themselves a hat and then make sure it has special area things on it like this, so somehow this all fits together, and then you can go Oh, I feel so much safer now. There's no monsters that can get to my head now. They'd have to go through my protective helmet. Pretty silly. You don't know what it's like. You don't have a protect. Anyone want to protect? Yeah. Well, some people today are afraid. Some kids are afraid. We can be afraid of shadows. We can be afraid of being alone. We can be afraid of all kinds of stuff. Some people in our world today are very afraid. And here's what I want you to know. I don't wear this helmet. And I don't trust in this helmet. Ooh, that wasn't bad for not looking at it. They'll be available after church for $7 a piece. Hey, we got to make up here. You know what I mean? You don't understand that, but I do. Anyway, here's what I want you to understand. That won't protect me. Who protects me every day?
God.
Yes. The Lord. Absolutely. And that's what I want the big people to figure out. I don't want them to put on those kind of helmets. It's so hard to keep yourself together when you lose your helmet. I don't want them to put on that kind of helmet. I want them to put on the helmet that God gives us that covers all of us, including little kids, including people that were afraid of a shadow on the is that silly or not?
Yes.
Yes, good. All right, well, I got a treat for you. Thank you for listening.
Ladies first.
Wait a minute, I'm going to put it over here. Ladies first, here we go. Ladies first, here we go. There's plenty in there. You'll all get something. You'll all get something. It's your birthday? Well, then you can have one and a half. Should I wear this the whole service so you get the idea? Special prayed for over Holy Foil is available to you upon request. And I'll have to pay the church $12 for the cost of replacing that, I know. So, time to drink, everyone. Ready? Every 15 minutes. This way you can time the sermon. I'm telling you, we're going to have people walking up and down the aisles selling soda. I mean, water. Why in the world should God let you live? Will the world miss you? Why in the world should God let you live? You know, I picked a text that comes out of Second Peter. And it's after all the end of the world language that Peter addresses in Second Peter. And in the middle of this situation, you have to understand the significance of this. If the world is going to end tomorrow or the next day, are you ready or not? Close your eyes a moment. I want you to think of everything that's valuable, that matters around you. Picture it in your head. All right, open your eyes. If you didn't think about the person sitting next to you as the only thing that matters, the people in front of you or behind you, it's the only thing that matters. It is all that will survive anything at any time. That is the most important thing you and I have to understand. It is easy for all of us to get caught. It doesn't matter whether you're caught on the left or the right, whether you love the president or hate the president, whether you get it or you don't get it. The moment you leave the Word of God behind, you're in serious, serious trouble. And so as Peter is addressing this language, talking about a new heavens and a new earth, and if you read this, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then I'm starting just a little ahead in 2 Peter 3, the heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare, destroyed, gone, nothing. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? I don't know where this thing's going to go. I'm not the Lord. I'm not prophetic. But I am going to ask this question. What kind of people ought we to be? When I think Lauren, who sent that to me, sent that, I said, oh, this is so good. I don't even know where she got it. Talk to Lauren. She'll tell you. But I got this thing and I said, this is so accurate. So balanced, so right on, because it takes me right to the heart of God. I don't turn my back on anyone. I don't walk foolishly into the wrong places or sit in the wrong places. It is as simple as that, as clear as that, and as complex as that. So the question comes from Peter, and since everything will be destroyed in that way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy, godly lives as you look forward to the day of God. And speed, hurry up, it's coming. I'm sorry, I'm in verse 11 of that same chapter. The day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire. The elements will melt in heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. Now, I did say, I think the final sign has been completed in Revelation for the end of the world. Disney's closing Monday. You have to read it in the fine print. Somewhere in Revelation, it must say that. When Disney closes, the world is at its very end. And I go, I can be flip about it. I can do all those kind of things. But here's God. And Peter, he's talking absolutely sincerely. If tomorrow it was going to end, if you didn't know when it was coming, how would you live? Who would you be? What kind of people would you live like? You know? How would you respond to the circumstances around you, the need of friend, neighbor, acquaintance, or the realities of what you would do or what you wouldn't do to protect and preserve the life of other people around you? Those become the challenges. Those become the realities. And so then it comes to the section that I had read to you. So then, now we're at verse 14, 2 Peter 14. So then, dear friends, it really says the beloved. You are the loved ones. I don't know why they say dear friends in this translation. It's beloved. So then, beloved, since you're looking forward to this, the end, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. What, did you think you were going to make it home today from church? Aren't you all going to get into a car? You find out the number of people that die a year in America in cars? Oh my goodness. You begin to add these things up and you go, historically, it's more dangerous to get in your car than most anything else that you're going to do. And I go, this is not about fear. This is about focus. I don't fear because I focus on something rightly. That's where my focus cannot be taken off of. But Satan will do everything he can to get you to take your eyes off the focus of God in Jesus Christ, the salvation that is yours, the victory that is yours, the truth that God gives you. You belong to me. Nothing can take you from my hand. You put your trust in me. Peter, look at me here, Peter. And down he goes. What matters right now is where I keep my focus. I can't just walk around saying, I'm not afraid. Or like in The King and I, whenever you feel afraid, whistle this happy tune. A lot of you have no idea what I'm doing, do you? Well, it used to be a really old musical. Back in the old days. But you understand, it was how do I deal with fear? Well, you can't just arbitrarily say, I'm not afraid. That's foolishness. If it's what you're really feeling, you got to deal with it. If it's what you're really experiencing, for all lack of a better description, you're sinking. You have to understand when it grips you over whatever subject you want to name, because we can be gripped by fear for ourselves. We can be gripped by fear for my loved ones. I can be gripped by fear for the nation. I can be gripped by fear for the outcome of the governmental conspiracies. I can be gripped, and the list goes on and on. And that's just dealing with the corona junk. Not to mention gripped by fear that I'm not a good enough grandpa or a good enough parent or a good enough husband, wife, father, mother, whatever goes through your head. They're all geared to create fear within you. Fear is not from God. It is not what God wants to generate within you or cause to happen. Fear is not what God is about. Trust is what God is about. Focus is what God is about. And so he says, listen to me, very important. Make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Well, there is only one form of spotlessness, blamelessness, and peace with God. Lord Jesus, it's always you. Fill my eyes with your presence. When I walk into the grocery store, fill my eyes with your presence and make me your hands, your mouth, and your feet. Oh, no, I touched a cart handle. Oh, my goodness, I just touched a box that somebody else probably touched before they put it in. Maybe somebody picked it up and put it back. Maybe they coughed on it or licked on it or something horrible. Oh, come on, you know we're capable of that. You can get back in your car and go, oh, it's the same dirty steering wheel I touched yesterday. I, of course, have alcohol swabs. No, I don't. But fear kills. Fear kills faith. Fear kills relationship with God. Fear kills what God's trying to do with us. It steals blamelessness. It steals the very things. It steals peace. We don't have any peace because I'm filled with fear. What does it mean? My eyes are full of myself. My eyes are full of what man is hurling at me in the news or in the computer or wherever you happen to be picking it up. And in the middle of it, here's his next point. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him. How long does this thing have to go on before repentance begins to start in your heart? Don't be looking around at the rest of the United States or the world. What's got to change in your life? What makes you think you're going to make it for one more year? Who haven't you talked to? What haven't you done? You understand? This is a moment God says, slow down. Look at how shallow, how easy it is to snuff a life. How easy it can be taken. Those of you who lived it through 9/11 remember going, I wonder where the next explosion, bomb, or airplane is going to crash. What else do they have planned for us in America? Don't go to school. That's what they told us. And on the list went for however many 4 or 5 days. I can't remember how long that one lasted. But I go, what's my prayer in your prayer been? Dear God, change the heart of America. Dear God, rescue my aunt, my uncle, my cousin, my niece, my son, my daughter. God goes, are you ready? It's not just going to be, oh, come on, follow me. They're not going to do that. They might have to be scared to death and figure out that the answer in their life is something a whole lot more significant than what the governor, the president, the mayor, or any other leader happens to say. And your trust cannot be in mankind. And your trust cannot rest there because it is so uncertain. The very person, group, or individual you put in your position of trust can be dead tomorrow. And so here's the challenge. I pick this because even if the world is going to end, even if all these things start to happen, and you can just read all of 2 Peter chapter 3, you can just pick them all up. He says this, it's very, very important that you understand that point that he's trying to make, that wisdom, it goes this, God is being patient. He's got a purpose in this. Is the, you know, virus due to a punishment from God? Well, it's a consequence of sin. There would be no viruses if there was no sin. I'm a sinner, you're a sinner. I can go that far pretty easy. Is God going to use this? Absolutely. What's Romans 8? I believe that God works together for, in every situation, for all those called. You understand? According to his purposes, yes. And I go, that's where your trust has got to be. It's as simple as Peter walking on water. It's as complex as keeping your eyes on Christ when everything in the world wants to distract you from the cries to the right, the cries to the left, and all of the uncertainties that get pumped into your head sometimes 24/7, depending upon whether you got the radio on, TV on, your cell phone, your computer, whatever you happen to be using. And watch what he finishes it up with at this point. His letters contain that, I'm going to skip through that as their scripture says, to their own destruction. 17. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard. Be on your guard. Watch out. It's coming to destroy you. Not the virus, the fear. The trust that you have in God, it will be dissipated by the fear of if you get it or you don't get it. Have you ever had any of those psychosomatic, you know, I have a little pain and I got a cough and my head hurts and, you know. And you go through that and you go, am I really that susceptible? And the answer is yes. He goes on, since you know this, guard yourself, be alert, be vigilant, so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men, people who don't have the power of God in them, and fall from your secure position. What's he concerned about? He's concerned that the gift of salvation that has been given to you, where you're being called upon to trust in God, don't lose it. Don't lose it. I don't know how many days we're going to be confined. I don't know how many different situations we're going to be dealing with as a congregation, but here's the right answer. Don't lose the security you have trusting fully in Jesus Christ to bring you, as it points out, spotlessness, blamelessness, and peace with God, because it goes on, but grow in grace and knowledge, verse 18, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be both glory now and forever. Amen. I'm sorry I missed the verse that said buy tons of toilet paper and bottled water and, right? But here's the, yeah, ice cream. Got to have ice cream. There are some priorities, right? I'm calling with you. Keep your eyes on Christ. This is a moment where Christ is going to use to pull you closer to him, to give you a walk on water moment. No matter which way your life or your family's or your grandkids' life is going to go, come walk on water with Jesus. That's the call. I have begun this good work in you. I want to bring it to its full completion. Do not walk away in fear. Walk away putting your trust in me. Pray with me if you would. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Even if the world was in its very last throes of existence, like Peter was talking about, even if the Roman Empire hated you and wanted to destroy your church, your fellowship, your congregation, your family, your children, and your children's children, even if everything around you seems to collapse and the waves of life are bigger than you could possibly imagine, your command is always the same. Your invitation is always the same. Set your eyes on me, my child, and I will carry you through every single situation of your life. Help us to do that wholeheartedly. We pray this in your name, Jesus. God's people say, amen. As the offer